It's okay. I'm Matt Crawford with Transition Central Ohio, and we're just trying to help build resilient, close communities, trying to meet our neighbors, facilitate other people getting to know their communities, and be more self-reliant and have some fun.
What about peak oil?
Well, you know, I recognize the reality of peak oil for the last 5 or 6 years. I'm kind of a newbie, really. Many people have been working on it longer than I have. But I think the evidence is that we've been at peak or near peak for the last 5 years. We're on kind of an undulating plateau of world production. You know, it's coming.
What can we do? What's going on locally that people listening to this is community radio, can get involved in?
I'd say the first thing to do is to begin conserving energy, and you can do that right now. So, you know, try to do more walking, more biking, more public transit.
Yeah, people heard all that before. I mean, who can we contact, or who can help us with that process, you think, around Columbus?
Well, there's considered biking. There are, you know, MORPC is working on a plan for transit for Central Ohio, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. We're going to have some citizen involvement with MORPC. You can get there. There will be the opportunity for anyone to come to these MORPC Citizen Advisory Committee meetings and participate. You won't necessarily be able to vote, but you'll be able to come to the meetings and sit in and have input.
You mentioned SOLE, S-O-L-E.
Yeah, support our local economy. We're partnering with Small Business Beanstalk, Kemba Financial, and some other groups around town. We're working on promoting Columbus, keeping our business in Columbus, and keeping dollars here, creating jobs, making our community more resilient, and you know, trying to keep more of our resources here.
Finding common ground and not being political, or at least not being divisively political?
Well, you know, we all have our differences, but I think we have more in common than we are different. So let's try to find those commonalities and make some headway with getting to know each other and understand each other, rather than focus on the things we don't have in common.
What are some of the specific practical areas that you've gotten involved with? For example, for me, it's been bicycling and community garden.
Well, I would say bicycling for me as well. And we're trying to do some gardening, but we've got to work on the issue of lead in the paint on our house. We've been doing some testing in the garden, and we have a bit of lead, so we need to remediate that. We've got a raised bed in the backyard, but we're probably going to have to start over with the soil in there.
A couple years ago, Anita Lauren, I don't know if you've ever met her, and other activists with Peak Oil have approached city council about a Peak Oil resolution in a manner similar to some other cities. Is there any interest in trying something like that another time?
I was at those meetings. I was there when Anita was there. I would say we've made some inroads with the city. I know a few people down at the city, Erin Miller. I've shared with her the film In Transition 1.0 on DVD. I've had some conversations with Erin. I think they're interested in transition. Really, it's such a local movement. You know, we would like government to know about what we're doing and to be interested in what we're doing, but I don't expect city council to make a resolution about peak oil or climate change. I would like them to recognize them, and that has to come from their body, so I can try to help them understand the issues. If they choose to make such a resolution, that's up to them.
How about people reacting to what you have to say about peak oil and energy descent as if you're some kind of nut?
Well, I've been on the outside for a good bit of my life, so I'm not. It's nothing new for me to be to feel a little bit on the outside, a little bit different. I don't worry about what people have to say. I usually, if somebody questions this, I just say, "Well, how much have you read about it? And how much have you looked into it yourself?" And so I just suggest that people start to educate themselves if they don't believe in the reality of peak oil or climate change. Start looking into some of the science behind it. It's solid.
Well, you're a local guy here. What do you do?
I teach environmental health and occupational health at Ohio State. I'm also very interested in public health preparedness. So how can our public health system work at its best to keep our communities resilient and able to deal with anything unexpected that comes along.
You're also a registered nurse.
I haven't practiced for about 25 years in nursing, but I do have about 5 years of nursing practice under my belt, and once a nurse, always a nurse.
One of the strategies for some people, myself, when they've reacted to me sort of like I'm a nut to talk about peak oil or it turns people off, is that I've tried to find common ground, which with a lot of matters that are related to peak oil, such as bicycling, public transit, local food, et cetera, et cetera, instead of just having the frontal attack with the word peak oil, which seems to scare a lot of people away. What do you think of that type of approach?
I think it's really the best way, because I think you can paint a picture of the future using less energy that is actually a fun, joyful world. We don't need to use energy with the same intensity that we have for the last 100 to 150 years in this country or this culture. We can find better ways of doing things that aren't so energy intensive, and we can have fun doing it.
For examples around us, you pointed to Western Europe and said their standard of living, or better put, maybe their quality of life, is comparable, if not better, than what we have in the United States, yet they use half as much energy as us.
That's true. And, Europe has an advantage of never having had a large suburban build-out after World War II. So their cities are largely still concentrated, and so public transit and bicycling work a little bit more easily for them. But I think we could do more here.
You mentioned fear, or actually your colleague here mentioned fear is not a good motivator. It's not a sustainable motivator.
Yeah. I think we all recognize the gravity of some of the things that we face between peak oil, climate change, the financial crisis, the availability of fresh water around the world. These things are all issues that hit us right where we live. They affect everything about our world. But if we put those issues out there in front and say, it's only a matter of time before everything falls apart, you're not going to get very many people interested in what you're doing. But if you can paint a picture of a sustainable future where we work together to provide for ourselves and have a sustainable, comfortable way of life, I think that's appealing. We don't need to resort to fear mongering to get people interested in sustainability.
You probably consider yourself as a scientist.
I'm an epidemiologist, so I study the distribution of diseases, and specifically, I'm interested in occupational health. What kinds of things make workers sick, and how can you intervene and prevent them from being sick from work? So that involves some science. But I would say my focus now is much more strongly in working with communities to help them become more resilient.
So with science, you can have the sort of problem-solution mentality. Is this situation with our energy and environmental and economic issues sometimes something that could be so overwhelming that it's hard to bend your mind around a problem-solving type of way of thinking?
I don't think solutions can be dictated, and I don't try to dictate myself. So I think all we can do is be open to the creativity around finding solutions, and open to working with people one to one, understanding their point of view, and trying to learn. A big part of what we are doing is learning ourselves. So we're not out here trying to teach people how to do things. We're trying to learn, find our own way through this set of challenges.
Someone quoted Francis Moore LePay as saying, we don't know if our efforts at sustainability will succeed. We may, for all we know, fail and not be able to save civilization. However, she did say, we do know what type of general direction we need to go in, and that is something we can work with, even though we can't foresee the ultimate outcomes of our work.
Well, that is almost a paraphrase of Rob Hopkins' cheerful, he calls it a cheerful caveat, maybe, that the transition movement doesn't have the all the answers. It may not even work. We don't know. Right now, it's a big experiment. But we do see that it's a hopeful way to proceed. And we have to do work toward sustainability. And the only other way to proceed is to either ignore the issues and hope that they get better, hope that there's a technical solution, hope that science comes up with a new energy source that is non-polluting, and that we can continue this culture the way it has been going. I don't think a technical solution is the answer, though. I think we need to find a lower energy way to get by, and I'm hopeful that we'll do that. But there is no guarantee. I mean, she was right with her caveat.